I want to start with one of my very favorite quotes. And it's from one of my favorite authors, Owen McManus, and it says this. It says, "This is the story of God, that he pursues you with his love and pursues you with his love and he pursues you with his love. And even if you reject his love, he pursues you even still. For in issues of love, you must go yourself. And so God has come. This is the story of Jesus, that God has walked among us and he has pursued us with his love. He is very familiar with rejection, but he is still undeterred. And he is even now still pursuing you with his love. If anyone knows the pain of a love unreturned, it must be God." It was actually 10 years ago this year that I asked God for a birthday present. I didn't even know if he gave birthday presents, but it was honestly a wandering place in my own spiritual life. And the background on that is I was reading about Mother Teresa, who is everyone's hero. And I was reading her life, and she, at 38, she began her powerful ministry in Calcutta. And I was encouraged by that because I was just about to become 38. And I thought, well, I'll give this a shot. And so I just asked the Lord on my 38th birthday. I said, "Lord, I don't know if you give birthday presents, but I ask that this year that you would introduce me to the people that I could give the rest of my life to." And that was in March 2012. And in November 2012, I had a friend meet me at a coffee shop. We just met every week for coffee, just caught up on life, and sometimes we pray for each other. And one time she showed up and she said, "Valerie, this might sound really crazy to you, but I'm going to Indonesia. And I think you should go with me." And she said, I said, "That is crazy." I didn't know. I'd never heard of Compassion First. And to be honest, if you had handed me a globe and you had asked me to point to Indonesia, it would have taken me a minute or two. It is not on the planet where I thought it was. You know, and so all the places that I have aspired to go, places I wanted to see, and this was not on the list. And then she explained to me what Compassion First was, which this video did a beautiful job unpacking, that we get to serve girls, we get to assist in their rescue and facilitate their healing in our shelters that are located throughout the nation of Indonesia. We do that in a variety of ways. And we also get to work with very vulnerable communities. So this is our children who are especially vulnerable to traffickers because of their poverty and because of their situations in life. And this trip that my friend was inviting me on was going to be Compassion's first, very first interaction with a community in West Java, Indonesia. Now, Java, if you don't know, is the most populated island on the planet. It is about 1/4 of the size of Oregon, and Oregon has roughly 4 to 5 million people. Java has 140 million people. So it is an island just bursting with people. And in the middle of a lot of these big cities are these huge, huge cemeteries. And so hundreds of acres where people often make their homes. And so this particular cemetery in this particular city, Compassion First was invited to engage this population for the first time. And she began to tell me what she knew of these people. And so, of course, it's going to be a 100% Muslim community. These women and children live in the cemetery. And so that means these huge, huge stone tombstones. And if you pick up some of these pamphlets, they'll show you some pictures. And so it's women and children and like living on the ground between gravestones. Or these little tiny 8x8 cement rooms that kind of dot the perimeter. They live there. These women clean the graves for about 10 cents during the day. And then at night, they return to those same graves that they clean, and they sell themselves for about 75 cents every night, just for the survival of their children. So it's a situation 100% informed by poverty. 100% of the women that we get to serve are HIV positive. And my friend Jeray said, that's where we get to go. And I was moved by that. Like, what? Who wouldn't be moved by that? But I think in my mind, I was thinking, well, what good can you do in 10 days, honestly? And everything else, if I kind of had a pro and con list, but this invitation from my friend, why would I go? Why wouldn't I go? And I got to tell you, all the con list one, how much money does it cost? Is it even safe? What's the point? What's the point of investing myself and my time and my money into a place, into a people I actually will never see again and have no opportunity to form any kind of lasting, meaningful relationship with? And at that time, my boys were so little. And so knowing I'm going to leave these boys, I'm going to leave what is familiar. I don't even know if it's safe. All of the things, it just didn't add up to me. But I don't know about you. Sometimes when we ask God for guidance, at least for me, I have asked God for his direction, and sometimes he remains very vague. But then there are times that you know that he knows that you know. And that was one of the times in my life I knew I was just supposed to get on the plane. And I remember my last-ditch effort to avoid all this was going to my husband, Dirk, and saying, okay, well, I could go, but all my list, why it may not be safe or make sense. And then I remember he just looked at me and said, Valerie, I'm already scared to death. If you're trying to scare me, I'm already scared to death. But if God told you to get on the plane, get on the plane. So in my mind, I had just said yes to 10 days. During that time of preparation, I had a friend message me. At that time, I think because through Facebook, she saw that I was going to Indonesia. And my boys tell me now that Facebook is for old people. But back then, it was so cool. But she's messaged me through Facebook, and she said, Valerie, you might think this is crazy, but I see you're going to Indonesia. And when I saw that, God spoke to me. God told me to get up out of my living room, go into my bedroom, go to my jewelry box, and he identified a specific ring in my jewelry box that is personal to me, but that I am to mail to you. And you are to put in your pocket and you are to take it and deliver it to a woman that God is sending you to in Indonesia. And she said, God wants you to look her in the face, and God wants you to give her this ring, and God wants you to tell her three things. You look at her and you tell her, God has not forgotten you. You are precious to God. You are so precious that he promises his whole self to you. And she said, it will not be who you expect, but go. And so at this point, regardless of what this team I was going with would have articulated as our purpose, I knew my purpose. That there is a woman on the other side of the globe that God was going for. That he was pursuing, that he loved, and that he was going at great lengths to get to. Because this is the story of God, that he pursues us with his love, that he pursues us with his love, and he pursues us with his love. And he stops at nothing to get to us. So I remember touching down in Surabaya, Indonesia. It's a big city. It's a dirty city. There's nothing special about it except for it is my favorite place on the planet. And I remember in every room and every opportunity we got to interact with so many different kinds of people there, that we met beautiful people. But I was looking for the one. And I remember walking into every room, into every event, just like whispering to my heart, like, Lord, like, is she here? And a love for this woman that I didn't know began just to like stir up inside of me. And in the process of just keeping my eye out for the woman God had sent me to, I did get into that cemetery ground. And you know what? I was moved. I expected that I would be moved. Who wouldn't be moved by that kind of desperation? But I can tell you what moved me. It was not the darkness. And people selling themselves on dead people, that's dark. But I'm telling you, what moved me was the presence of Jesus there. I did not know that Jesus lives in cemeteries. It turns out that he does. And to be right in the middle of that place, you've got naked children, you've got goats. I don't know why there are goats. You've got all kinds of heartache and brokenness happening all around you. And yet, there is the presence of God in the middle of it. It was disorienting to me. And one thing that it did, I began to realize the things that I thought that I knew about God. And here's the thing, I'm embarrassed to say, at one time, I thought I knew all the things. Like, you know, how many sermons can you hear? Can you preach? How many, you know, all the things. And just to the point, you're like, well, I kind of know all the things about all the things. How God works, how humanity works, what faith means. Like, you know, there would have been a half dozen things I would have fought you for because I was just so sure I was right. But then you get in a place like that, and all of those things you thought you knew just... And something that I'm sure I said at one point, and you probably heard when people say, we take Jesus places. We take Jesus to Indonesia. You take Jesus to your workplace. I'm realizing, oh, actually, he's already here. I didn't take Jesus to Indonesia. I didn't bring Jesus into that cemetery. Turns out he was there. It turns out he was there. It turns out he was there. And then to hear the whisper of God say, hey, I'm here. And you can join me if you want to. It was that gentle. It was that sweet. It was invitational. I'm here. You can come too. And as that conversation progressed, it was like, Lord, well, yeah, I want to be where you are, but there's nothing in me that's qualified to meet this kind of heartache. I don't have any money. I don't have any good ideas. I don't have a program. And the Lord said, well, you're in luck. Because I'm not asking you for your money or your good ideas or any program. I'm just saying I'm here and you can come. And so God and I made a deal. Turns out God does things, like gives birthday presents and sometimes even makes deals. But it was, Lord, I'll come if we can do it this way. Could you just show me the next step when it's time to take a next step? You don't have to show me the big picture, but if you could just show me the next step, and then you just give me the courage to take that one. And then when it's time to take another, would you just show me when and how to do that? And if you will just be faithful to do that, I'd like to come with you. And that was 10 years ago. And he has kept his promise. Just step by step by step. And I remember driving home in one of these big silver van back to our hotel one night. And I was just sitting by the window, just kind of watching like the city fly by me on both sides. Just thinking about my day. Just trying to take in everything I had experienced. And then to hear the whisper of God say, "Happy birthday." And I had forgotten I'd even asked. And that was 10 years ago. A cemetery for my birthday. The most, when you sell yourself for 75 cents on tombstones, you are about to, as low as you can go on any kind of social ladder. These beautiful people, even by their neighbors, were called the walking dead. And I can tell you this many years later, but I haven't been the gift to them. They are the gift. They are the gift. Whenever we get to do alongside those that everybody else writes off, that's a gift to us. And then where do you start? And I assumed at that time that success in that kind of setting would be maybe she just changes her job. You know, maybe the story is she once had to sell herself. Now she sells food at a food stand. Now she can sew something. But that is not the heart of the story of God. God's heart was that she would know that she is worth so much more than what she could sell herself for. That she sees herself as he sees her. And you know what? He loves her. Just like she is a Muslim prostitute, ill woman, God loves. God loves. God's intent is not even to change her. Not even that she dressed a little bit more modest and does something a little more dignified with her days. God was in that cemetery because he wanted to love her there and experience love there without having to jump through any hoops to experience it. And so this was our strategy those early days. And actually, to be honest, remains very much the root of all of our strategy. Is, you know what, we're just going to show up. We're going to look her in the eye. We're going to learn her name. We're going to learn the names of her children. We're going to treat her like a human. And we are going to communicate that we are well aware that we are the lucky ones to know her. And our goal was that somehow, through our interactions, that she would begin to be open and embrace her worth. Because here's the thing, even if we had thrown sewing machines and an instructor's manual her way, until she believes that she is worth a future, she is not going to be motivated to create one. And so there, those early days were this, when I would come back and I would tell you the activity of God that we were jumping for joy about, it was this, oh, we made a friend. We made a friend. And success was this, oh, she used to look down at the ground when she spoke to us, and now she looks us in the eyes. Oh, she laughs. Slowly by slowly, maybe she's beginning to realize her worth. And then invitations just continue to come. In those very early days, I did not even mention the name of Jesus, not because I'm ashamed of Jesus or not because I was afraid, but because that community and so many communities like them have been exploited in the name of Jesus. And no matter who you are, you know when you are being cared for and you know when you are being used. So we just showed up. And then we thought, you know what? Friends actually don't preach to their friends. They sit in the dirt with their friends. I remember being invited into just very humble home, like a cement home room, and only room for enough for an old mattress that barely fits on the floor, where a family of five all pile on top of each other at night. But we got invited into that home, and I can tell you, that's heaven. That's actually holy ground. So to begin to get these invitations into her life, into her home, into the community. And I remember the first time one of my new friends said, Valerie, what I do at night brings me so much shame. And in my religion, there is no place to go with my shame. Will you tell me what you know about Jesus? And at that point, I had never even mentioned his name. But when we go and when we love, he shows up. He reveals himself. And not only to her, but to me. So that was our first conversation. I got to fumble through what I knew about Jesus. And I've had dozens and dozens of conversations like that since. But here's what I do now. When one of my friends leans in and says, hey, tell me what you know about Jesus, I'll tell them what I know. And then I say, you tell me what you know. Because I can tell you more times than not, when I share with one of my friends in that cemetery, she'll say, oh, he was the one that came into my living room last night. Oh, Jesus. Oh, he was the one that healed my dad. Oh, he's the one that came to me in my dream. He's pursuing them. So it is our prayer that they experience the love of God and Jesus through us. I hope and I pray and I think that maybe they have, but I can tell you that I experienced the presence of Jesus through my Muslim prostitute friends like I never have anywhere else on all the planet in all my life. And when we show up, not only hoping that God uses us to reveal himself, but looking for him in the face of the one across the table, how more do you show dignity? How more can you communicate worth and dignity than saying, I'm going to look in your eyes and I'm going to look for God? And here's the beautiful thing. She's blown away by what she just experienced of Jesus. I'm blown away by what I just experienced of Jesus. And we just aren't sitting in awe together. Like, this is the story of God. And realizing that, as much as I hope that Compassion First and I have been able to add good to that community, I hope that we've added good to their lives, but they have changed my life. As much as we like to think that the poor need us, and they do, we need them. Not only as outreaches, but we need to include them in our conversations, include them in our community, because the body of Christ is lacking until they have a voice and they have a place. That means all the messy, broken people and all of their problems, yes, right here in the middle of us, because that's what we all are. Who you least expect in them is a treasure that we all need and we all benefit from. And until we are all included, our perception of the heart of God is incomplete. God lives in cemeteries, you guys. And not just the cemeteries in Indonesia, but I'm talking about God lives in the cemeteries of our lives. We have them. Those places that you are most ashamed of. Those regrets, those failures, I'm telling you, that's where Jesus lives. That's where Jesus longs to be invited. The thing that you think that disqualifies you from knowing and being known by God is the very place where Jesus goes. Your brokenness and even your sin does not repel Jesus. It is a place he longs to go. Not to just change your behavior and make you a little bit spiffier Christian, more presentable. Not to express his disappointment, but to love you there. And as at the end of that trip where I was in another van going someplace else on that island, and the Spirit of God whispered to me, he said, you have been searching for her this whole time, but she has been with you since the very first day. And I turned and I saw my friend Davy. Davy is an Indonesian woman who met me at the airport when I first arrived in Indonesia. And so she was the translator. She was my guide. She was the one that had been on this journey and had searched for this woman that God loves. And I was so thrilled. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to give her this ring and these promises tonight over dinner. And so I went back to my hotel that night and I wrote her a note. And I just said, David, you need to know something. You're the only reason I came. And let me tell you something, my friend in the coffee shop invited me to come, and I said no, but then God said yes. And my other friend from Portland sent me a ring from her jewelry box that I was supposed to put in my pocket and actually get on a plane and come find you, literally across the globe. Because God is pursuing you. Not to correct you, not to shame you. Because he wants you to know a few things. He wants you to know that he's not forgotten you, that you are precious to him, and that he promises himself to you. And so over dinner that night, we began to talk. And at that point, we hadn't had a lot of time to talk a lot about personal things. Our days were full of people and of projects. I didn't know her story. But I remember that night we were eating together, and she begins to tell her story. And she begins to cry. And then this is what she said. She said, "Valerie, because of what I've done, and because of what's done to me, I know I am no longer precious to God." Those were her very words. So I thought, well, this has got to be my cue. And so to get out that ring and to get out that note and say, you know what? Let me tell you how precious you are to God. Look at the extent he's gone. And that particular ring at that particular time was for my friend Davy, but I am telling you, this message is for you. And I'm asking you to open up your heart to the possibility that these might be God's words to you today. Not to you on your best day. I'm talking about you in your dark day, in your cemeteries. And Jesus coming and saying this, hey, I've not forgotten you. And maybe there are some here that just need to hear that. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. And if you can hear me, I am talking to you. God has not forgotten you. You are precious to God. And at that, we would just let that like sink in a little bit. How do you absorb that? You are precious to God. But nothing that's been done to you and nothing you have done makes you the exception to that. But you are precious to God. And you are so precious. He promises himself to you. And I began to think, what does that even mean? But God's not even saying, I'm making these promises to you. He's saying, no, I promise me to you. I bound myself to you. All that I am is yours. You will not have a moment of existence where I am not near you. God has not forgotten you. You are precious to God. And he promises himself to you. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you would just open up our hearts to your love. Lord, what does it mean to be precious to you? And what are the things that keep us from being able to embrace that? What are the things that we hide away? The things that we think have no place in the story of God. God, we bring those places, those things to the forefront, and we marvel that you take the least likely piece and you bring redemption and healing and freedom and peace and purpose, Lord. So give us the courage not to withhold a piece of our story, Lord. But we invite you right into the middle of it, Lord. But I ask that you would just, what does it mean to let you love us? We talk so much about loving others, and that's so important. But what does it mean to just be loved by you? To envision ourselves in our darkest place, Lord, with no shame, and allowing ourselves just to be loved. Lord, and like my friend said, there's no place in my religion for my shame. Tell me about Jesus, Lord. In so many ways, even in our religion, Lord, there's no place for our shame. We beat each other up with it. So we bring our shame to Jesus. And he melts it away with his love. God, we just ask you for the next step. But everyone in this room is on a journey with you and to you. And so, Lord, would you reveal to them what the next step is? That they would not be overwhelmed by the big picture, Lord, and all the worst case scenarios, but show them just the next thing. Right now, I ask you to do that, Lord. Speak to the hearts right now, Lord. Anyone who is open, anyone who is wanting, Lord, to hear from you just the next step, would you just clearly speak? And maybe it seems so tiny that it couldn't be it. Maybe it seems so significant we can't do it, whatever it is. But whatever it is, God, give us the courage to take it. And then we trust you for the courage to take it when it's time to step again. Thank you for your love that reaches across the globe, and thank you for your love that fills this church in Lebanon, Oregon. You're after us, Lord. You pursue us with your love, and then you invite us to go with you as you pursue another with your love. And you are always pursuing another with your love. And I pray, Lord, for Lebanon Foursquare, Lord, that this place would just be so filled with the presence and the love of God, that you would meet these people, Lord, in ways that are so profound, that they cannot but help, Lord, pursue the communities and homes and families of this town, Lord. That we go not out of obligation, but we are compelled by love. Because you have captured our hearts. And how could we not go with you, Lord? How could we not go with you? Thank you that you're up to something beautiful and you invite us to join you there. I'm going to pray this prayer over all of us from Ephesians 3. And it says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. And I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breath. Test its lengths, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Because God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. So glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus, and glory to God all the generations. Glory through all the millennial. Oh, yes, glory to God. Amen.